Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756 or comment on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Shoup.
We are going to talk about the Alzheimer's Association, what's available here. We'll talk about the walked-in Alzheimer's and a bunch of other stuff this morning. Lori Myers with the local Alzheimer's Association office is with us. Lori, good morning. Good to have you on the phone with us this morning.
Good morning, Ted. It's always good to be with you all. Thank you for this opportunity. Great way to start the day.
It's great to talk to you. Yesterday, the show we were talking about pediatric cancer, and I thought you fit right into this. As difficult as these times are, you think of families that are dealing with Alzheimer's or other kinds of diseases, and the diseases don't stop, and you have to just kind of adapt and adjust to what's going on. These are tough times, but they're especially tough when you're trying to work in a disease, especially like Alzheimer's.
It really is tough. You know, it's a challenge, as you said, anyway, and then you add the layer of the COVID and more isolation and less ability to get around and see family and friends. And it really does add a lot more challenges, but we are, you know, we're pushing through it, you know. We're just doing the best we can, aren't we?
We certainly are. This is usually the time of year where we would be all getting ready in this area to be meeting over by the hospital and having a big walk, and you'd be looking at the weather and saying it's going to be great for that, and just planning for it. We won't be getting together as in the past, but the walked-in Alzheimer's is taking place around here and around the region.
Absolutely, positively is taking place. There's a lot going on. We are heavy into walk season throughout the state. Certainly in our area, in the Fredericksburg area, you're right, we're not going to be able to meet together at the hospital, but our date stands true, October 10th, which is unbelievably a week from tomorrow. That's come up fast. We will be doing the walk. We are encouraging people. Thank you to everybody who's already created a team. They're out there fundraising. The awareness is happening. But the walk is everywhere. So people that are doing that and gearing up for next week, we are going to be asking them to walk safely in their neighborhoods at a favorite trail. So it's still happening, but it does look a lot different.
And it's important to not let this get by and to just think everything is different. I'll do it again next year, because as we say, the disease continues, and the money for research and in other programs is just as important, maybe even more important.
You know, you're absolutely right. This disease continues regardless of a pandemic. Families need services. There's a lot of stress. So this year is really, the walk is more important than ever to be able to raise those funds to do what we do in the area, to provide money for research. It's now needed more than ever, really.
Yeah. So give us some details on what's going to happen, because around here it's on the 10th, but I know that there are walks, and the Alzheimer's Association, as usual, has come up with a really clever and just a program to make people feel as though you are still doing the walked-in Alzheimer's. You're just not doing it with as big a group this year.
Right. So you're right. They really have come up with a great alternative. There is a walk happening next week, certainly in our area. We actually have a walk happening tomorrow for the Gloucester area. The Richmond walk is October 31st. The Williamsburg walk is at the end of the month. So there's walks happening everywhere. And to your point, there is a walk app that everybody can use, so that there's some sense of everybody's together that day that they walk out that door, you know, to do the walk to end Alzheimer's. The fundraising is still happening, but what's going to happen is everybody will have an opening ceremony. Typically, we do that together as a big group, and we're over at the hospital, and we're hearing from those representing those Promise Garden flowers. That will still happen, but it's going to happen virtually. So there'll be an opportunity to get on your iPhone or on your computer, view the ceremony. It will start at 9:30 on the 10th. Get the opportunity to hear from our home office. We're also going to have folks from the Fredericksburg area talking about their journey, why they represent the flowers, and then we're all going to kick off together at 10 o'clock. So that app gives us the opportunity to see those ceremonies and to also, you know, within the app are sponsors and an opportunity to take some pictures of your team and share it with others. There's a chat feature. So even though we can't all be together, we're going to have that continuity of feeling like we're together with this awesome walk app.
Well, and we've all gotten used to this. This isn't as though if you had done this, you know, in early April or late March, it would have been just, you know, I don't understand how to do this. By now, we all know how to do this.
You're right. You know, the learning curve, you know, we've all, you know, learned so much. And so it just shows you, you know, what we can do when we put our minds to it and make that shift and still make it happen. So I encourage everybody, it is happening. Don't wait till next year. We need you now more than ever. And if you haven't created a team, you can do it today. You can do it next week. And the great thing about the fundraising throughout is we fundraise till December 31st. So if someone's not able to do it for whatever reason, they didn't hear about it, we're fundraising till the end of the year. So everybody can have an opportunity to make a difference and create that awareness.
Well, like you say, it is going to be different, but this really is a way. And how great a feeling will it be at the end to see where the money that you raised, and when you see a total, just to know that you've all done it together.
We've all done it together, and we can make a difference. And this is something, there's so much going on right now that we don't have control over. But we can take action, and we can make this happen as a team. So, yeah, you're right. I think there's a lot of energy around it. We have a great walk team. We have so much support. It's going to be a good year.
Well, and the other thing to think about too is if you're kind of on the fence of do I want to do it again this year, you think about the families and the patients. They can't wait. And this is we're always talk about this that we're still waiting for that first survivor, but we're getting close, and you don't want to take a step or two back this year just because of a pandemic.
Absolutely, we are. There's so many exciting things happening right now. The disease does not stop. The families needing care and support does not stop. If anything, we are seeing an increase and folks calling the helpline, calling the local office. You know, they're well into their seventh month of what's already a difficult journey. So they need us now more than ever. And yeah, I totally agree. We're still fighting the disease.
So where are you walking next week? Have you mapped out your place yet?
I actually have a nice walk. It's actually a little bit longer than, you know, the walk is, you know, that we typically do. We have about a 4-mile walk right in my neighborhood.
Okay.
So my husband and I are going to go out the door and we're going to have our walk flags. There's some flags going on around this year rather than the Promise Garden flowers. And we're going to wear our walk T-shirts. And I think it'll be a great walk. And not only, you know, will we be walking when everybody else is walking and taking pictures, but I just would like to think that neighbors, people walking by are going to go, hey, what's going on?
Yeah.
Now, what are they doing out there? And that's an awareness that, you know, in my own neighborhood. So that's my plan.
Well, I've always told you the thing about the walk to end Alzheimer's that always gets to me is the people who wear the buttons with pictures of family members. And I just think that you can still put that same button on and walk, you know, whether it's in your neighborhood or on the walking trail, wherever you're going, and you can still do it and have the same impact.
We can. And, you know, another part of the walk that we're familiar with would be the Promise Garden. And that's always planted, you know, at the hospital. So this year we're going to be having a Promise Garden and it'll actually be displayed. There'll be the four colors of the flowers. Where people can drive by, take a moment, reflect, have a memory, and still have the opportunity to reflect. It's going to be at Fred Knapp's Park this year. So the day of the walk here locally from 10 a.m. to noon, someone could go ahead and get their walk in and then drive by the Promise Garden. And there will be a few key people there to allow for that opportunity. So I think that's an important part of this. There's a lot of memories surrounding all of that. So we will still have that opportunity, too. And other Promise Gardens at other walks will be similarly arranged. So, you know, you need to drive through, but there'll still be an opportunity to reflect and remember.
Lori, if someone wants to sign up for this, what's the easiest way to find out more information and to sign up for next week's Walked Into Alzheimer's in this area?
Okay, so what you want to do, I'm going to give you a website, alz.org, which is our overall website, and then /walk. And if somebody logs on, they're going to say, okay, what walk are you looking for? You just type in your zip code, 22401. It'll bring you right up to the page. It's very easy, step by step. Are you joining a team, creating a team? Perhaps you want to donate to a team, and it'll walk you through that process. And you know, it's that simple, and it can happen in 5 minutes.
Well, and like you say, so many things have changed, and this outwardly has changed, but it really hasn't changed. All the components are there. You're just doing it in a way, and at this point, you wouldn't want to be with a big group and taking a chance. So this really is you do really have a chance to continue something on, and the Alzheimer's Association needs right now to get as much as we can for the Walked Into Alzheimer's. So this really is something that you want to consider.
Yes, and it does look different, and I know there are people that are maybe a little sad that we're not getting together, but it's absolutely the right thing to do.
Yeah.
We want to keep our families safe, our volunteers safe, the walkers safe. So this is it. Plan B is going to work. It does look different, but we are making it happen on October 10th, and we need everybody's help.
alz.org/walk, and just type in your zip code, and you'll get all the information. Walked Into Alzheimer's in this area is on the 10th. It is a virtual walk. Lori Myers here this morning with the Alzheimer's Association, and we will continue on. We'll be right back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. You can weigh in about today's Town Talk topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, your host, Ted Schubert.
Lori Myers here this morning. We're talking about the Alzheimer's Association. This is a Walked In Alzheimer time, and the walk again is taking place, and walks are taking place all around the state this month in this area. October 10th, next Saturday, is the virtual walk. You mentioned in a couple of times, Lori, about the flowers, and I know that there are four different flowers and with different colors. And they represent kind of where different people are at this time.
Yes. Yes. It's a great visual. So let's talk about that. During the ceremony, we do have somebody representing each color, the opening ceremony, and it's very powerful. So we'll start with the purple flower. The purple flower actually represents those that have lost somebody with a disease, and that's very powerful, very important. So if there's a purple flower that someone has, they're certainly thinking about that loved one and remembering them and honoring them. The blue flower represents someone that has dementia. So that could be somebody with Alzheimer's or another type of dementia. And again, that would be somebody that chooses to stand with that flower as a sign of recognition and their willingness to be an advocate and to put a face to that color. Then we have the yellow flower, which represents all of the caregivers who are out there working right now, whatever capacity. Maybe it's a family member. Maybe they're a caregiver in a long-term care facility or an assisted living, and it just really means something to them to represent everything that goes into that color. And then lastly is the orange flower. That represents anybody in the community that's passionate about what we do, standing behind what we do, wanting to let people know what we do. So really, there's a flower for everyone. There's a colored flower for everyone. And that Promise Garden was unveiled several years ago, and it's been very powerful. So, you know, like I said just a little earlier, we are still going to have that opportunity, a visual opportunity.
Yeah.
But we're not able to hand out the flowers this year. This year, if someone, typically before, if you registered, you'd go up to the registration desk and you would decide which color flower was most meaningful to you. Now, this year, since we can't do the, you know, face-to-face, handing something. Flags have been mailed out to people who have registered, and the flags have the flowers on them, And it also has the brand, you know, Walk to End Alzheimer's on them. So we still have the opportunity to think about those colors. It just looks different. Again, that's something else that, looks a little different this year, but those are the four colors, and that's what we, what we're emphasizing with those different colors.
And boy, Lori, the Promise Garden, to me, one of the more powerful things about it is it shows you're not alone. You look at all those different colors, and you just think, it's so easy sometimes to just think, this is, I don't know how we're going to make it. This is, no one understands, but you take a look at that garden and you see those flowers and especially in the times when you do all get together, but you see those colors and you realize I'm not alone.
So true, Ted, so true. So the walk, that's certainly, a feeling that you do get as a caregiver in your own home, doing the caregiving 24/7, it's really easy to feel like I am all alone. I don't think anybody else is dealing with this. This is really, really hard. So the walk does give that opportunity, and those different colored flowers really do emphasize you are not alone. You have other people who have that same yellow flower. There are other people that in their families that would represent that blue flower. But look at all the people in the community that have an orange flower. These are the people that really do care. We have a great community. I can't think of a better place to be anyway, but in terms of resources and support, the Alzheimer's Association wants people to know they are not alone.
I think about when you were going through the different colors and talking about caregivers, and it's tough anytime for caregivers, but boy, you think whether, especially the ones right now that are working in facilities, when family members in most cases can't have any kind of contact, if you're a caregiver at home with a person, boy, this is a tough time.
It really is. It all looks so different, challenging anyway, and then to continue to provide the level of care, whether it's a community setting or at home, that you want to provide, there's just that additional layer of hand washing and keeping that person safe and then keeping other family members safe. It's definitely unprecedented times. And certainly my hat's off to all the people in our community that are working in long-term care communities and assisted livings and memory care units. They are doing a great job keeping our folks safe. And it is very challenging right now.
And I know it's easier said than done, because I could say here, if you're a caregiver, you take care of yourself. And the words are right, but I can just imagine people who are caregivers saying, "Yeah, right. How do I do that right now?" And that's what's really difficult. It really is. And there aren't many good answers right now.
Sometimes there are no answers other than that we take it one day at a time. Know that reach out to a family member, reach out to a trusted friend, have somebody call you daily, just to touch base and check in and make sure you're okay, because that isolation is very real anyway. And those places that you may have taken your loved one out in the community might not be possible right now. So, that's changing the person with the disease, their routine, and it's also changing the ability of the caregiver just to get out and about. And someone may have been, bringing care in, and that has stopped for whatever reason. I know, there's still care available to bring in, but that might look a little different. Some people might be less hesitant to bring someone into the home. So, all those choices that they may have made to balance things a little bit are certainly off balance right now. So figuring out how to still take care of yourself and make sure that you get enough rest, you're eating well, it really is a daily challenge. And we're always talking with caregivers. Please, it's going to make you a better caregiver. You're going to be able to do what you need to do if you take care of yourself. And that's something we need to talk about all the time, because it's so hard.
Yeah. No, and I like what you said just a few minutes ago about, maybe you know somebody that they're in a caregiving situation, or they're in a situation where they're taking care of someone and just they're not getting out. Whether you text them with some encouragement or offer to help in some way that you can, whether maybe it's just going and shopping for them or just being someone who can call them up and, just talk over the phone, human kindness kind of things can sometimes help a caregiver.
I really agree. And it could be that caregiver it may be hard for them to ask, But if we just are proactive, and like you said, that text, that phone call, it can really make all the difference. It really, really can. So we encourage people to think about your neighbors, think about your friends. And if you are going to the store, boy, that would be great. Can you pick up a couple of things? Because that can make a big difference if they don't have to, you know, take their loved one and go through that. Mm-hmm. If someone can do some of those things for them, I think it makes all the difference in the world.
Now, I know some people in some caregiving situations right now, and they're concerned that they can have someone come in to, you know, even to relieve them for an hour or two, because they just don't want to introduce anything. I mean, they're just afraid that if the person they're taking care of were to get this, that it would not have a good ending.
That's a very real concern. I know we have a lot of great agencies ready to do that, but it really is that family level, their comfort level, and a lot of people really are holding off on that, and legitimately so. We know our population of folks with Alzheimer's and other types of dementia, they're a compromised group, they're older, there's a lot of other illnesses often running alongside the dementia, so they are the most vulnerable population. So, yeah, it's very real that, you know, we want to keep them safe, but it does add a lot more onto the caregiver. But with that being said, I would certainly make sure people know we still have our caregiving support groups that are meeting on a regular basis. So for somebody that's gone before, please come back. We have a dial-in phone number where you can call and talk with the group, or we're also using a webinar platform, where you can join a support group. Even if you've never joined before, now maybe more than ever, that contact and that knowing you're not alone and having some other caregivers on the phone that you can relate to could make all the difference.
What's the best way to find out what's available here locally? How can I get a hold of you or the local office?
Okay, so if someone is in the Fredericksburg area and they're wondering, okay, I think I'm ready. Where are the groups? When are they meeting? They can call the local office, and I'll give you the number. It's 540-228-1502. So they could call the office. Okay. We have a PDF I can send out. Here's the dates. Here's the links. So that's one way to find out. But if somebody perhaps doesn't have the local number and they just, you know, where do I start kind of a thing, mm-hmm. if they call our helpline, that they can get, let that person that answers know where they're located and what the zip code is. And there's a way to search with a helpline as to what's available locally, you know, and what those dates and times are. So there's a way to find out calling our 800 number. So maybe this is a good time to give you that.
Yeah, give me that.
Okay. 1-800-272-3900.
Okay.
And that number is day or night, 3 a.m, you're going to get a live person. And that is a way to find out what's going on, you know, in your community as well. Okay. So even if you don't know the local number, you can call the 800 number and they will guide you and help you right then and there.
Again, the helpline number, 800-272-3900, or the local number, 540-228-1502. Lawyer Myers with the Alzheimer's Association here this morning. ALZ.org, the website that has all kinds of good information, /walk. If you want to find out more about the walk to end Alzheimer's, it's next week. We'll talk more about that. We'll talk more about some of the services offered locally. When we come back with Lori Myers on News Talk 1230 WFVA, it's 8:32.
I had the radio on. I'm listening to
Talk Done Right. News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. Opinions, we've all got them, and we'd like to hear yours on Town Talk. Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubert.
Lori Myers with the local Alzheimer's Association here this morning on the program. The Walk to End Alzheimer's is a virtual event this year, and it is on the 10th, next Saturday. And we will give you more details again on how you can get involved in that. One of the great things about the Walk to End Alzheimer's, Lori, is that, you know, I could, I mean, I shouldn't, but if I put it off and put it off and put it off, you know, I can even fundraise that morning and put my team together and do it. So you can do it. There is time, and there's still time to get involved.
Yes, there's absolutely time to get involved. Up until that day, you could walk that day and then donate the next day. You could have a friend that says something to you in November, because we really are fundraising till the end of the year.
Yeah.
So definitely, certainly would like you to be a part of the ceremony and the kickoff when everybody walks at 10 a.m. But if for whatever reason you're very late in registering, that's okay. We just want you to be a part of it. So, yeah.
ALZ.org/walk will give you all the information. You'll put in the zip code, and that'll tell you your local walk, and you can jump on it and get involved. The local Alzheimer's office, I mean, when a person gets the diagnosis, or a family member gets the diagnosis that this is dementia, Alzheimer's is there, I mean, it's just such a shock. It's just you have all kinds of questions. But your office really has a lot of answers and a lot of helps.
We do. We've got some great core services that we offer the community. Our services are at no charge. We are a nonprofit organization. So somebody with a diagnosis, maybe they've been referred by their doctor. That would be great. We're certainly always working on that referral. They can call the office and say, here's where we're at. You know, we've got this diagnosis. We're overwhelmed. We don't know what to do next. And we can speak with them on the phone, whatever those immediate concerns are. Maybe there's some information needed. So we're going to email some stuff. We're going to mail some stuff. And in a non-COVID world, we would meet with them one-on-one if wanted. We can certainly do that same type of meeting. It's called a care consultation. We could do that over a Zoom platform if someone's comfortable. But it really is meeting that person where they are. So if there's a new diagnosis, there's a lot of emotion around that. And there's also a lot of just good information that's needed about Alzheimer's or another type of dementia. Alzheimer's is the most common type, but there are other types out there. And the information is so important for beginning to accept it and also for the planning. So, you know, we're going to want to help people with that process. And we may have that care consultation and then maybe get the game plan started, and then they call as they need to. You know, maybe 2 months later, there's a referral needed or there's a question. That's always an open door along with our helpline. We also have community education. We're continuing to do that in a virtual platform. We just completed our annual conference on dementia in September. We had 2 weeks of our conference that took place virtually, where there was an education component in all of them. We have programs that are happening virtually all the time and are anxious for people to know when they are and to log on. And that could be somebody maybe with a dementia diagnosis, or it could be the caregiver or the family that just wants to know more about it. So those opportunities continue to happen. It's a virtual platform or a phone call at this point. And then I mentioned earlier the support groups. Those continue to happen. We do continue to recommend, some safety around the disease with a diagnosis. We will refer people to the local sheriff's department for the Project Lifesaver program. That is a wristband program where our statistics tell us 1 out of 6 with a dementia diagnosis may wander. So we have that conversation that we want to make sure we have something in place should there be a wandering incident. And we also talk about trial match. You know, there's a lot of clinical trials going on. That's where our research dollars that come out of the walk are going. That's where we're going to find that cure and that first survivor. But we're always looking for people to participate. So we have ways of, you know, getting that information to people. But lots of support, great community partners. We refer people out into our great community for additional resources. So yes, calling the office, calling the helpline is a great start.
Well, sometimes this can be so difficult to even diagnose, and you just think you just think in these days too. It's just hard to. I can't imagine how difficult it must be for a family who's thinking they may be facing this, and looking at getting a loved one checked out. Just because in these times it can throw even the healthiest person off, And so these, I guess it is important, though, in these times that if you start suspecting or you start seeing some things that are a concern, to make sure you don't put this off and to make sure that person, loved one or friend, gets checked out.
Great, great point. Because if you see some things, now make note of them. It may or may not be dementia. You know, there are warning signs and things of Alzheimer's that also could be a depression. Or there could be some things going on that are related to medications, vitamin deficiencies. When we see things, we don't really know what's driving it, and we don't want to assume, it must be dementia, I just don't want to go there. You know, we want to encourage them to see the doctor, you know, even if it's a telehealth, you know, format, which seems to be happening more now.
Yeah.
With COVID, you know, arrange for something, have that conversation so that they can do some tests, some blood work, rule out some things that may be driving some changes that can be treated. You know, we can treat depression. We can change up medications. We can, you know, do something about vitamin deficiencies. And we want to rule those out. And if they do get ruled out, we certainly want to take a look at, you know, getting a diagnosis so that we know what we're looking at. You know, that's a very important step.
Well, and the other thing is we've talked before about some of the warning signs that are out there. That sometimes we you know, I couldn't find my keys this morning, so I'm looking around for 20 minutes. Don't overreact at certain situations to things that are just normal everyday things.
Normal. Yep. I mean, it's common to experience some issues with memory and thinking behavior as we age. You know, my brain is not as sharp as it was 30 years ago. So there's some normal changes that we do experience. But I think the key message here would be that changes that interfere with daily life could be a sign of something more serious. So in other words, if I occasionally forget that, you know, bill and it got stuck underneath a stack and, oh my gosh, I better pay that, that's one thing. But if we're consistently losing the ability to be aware that bills need to be paid and they come in and it's affecting us, you know, all of our bills, that's different. Then you would want to take a look at, wow, I used to be really good at that and that was never an issue. And now, you know, my cell phone just got cut off because I'm not paying my bills. That's the difference. You know, that's where it's happening regularly. And, you know, I just think that there's normal aging and there's something that's a little bit more than that. So, I think, you know, the thing that would be different, let's say I have a dentist appointment at 2 o'clock today and 4 o'clock rolls around and I go, oh my gosh, I had a dentist appointment today and I completely forgot about it. That unfortunately does happen to us. The difference would be somebody that may be developing they don't even remember necessarily that they had the appointment.
Right.
But they're not saying, oh my gosh, I forgot it. They realize, what appointment? So that's where we start to see things that look a little different and would be more concerning as opposed to something that just occasionally happens, you know?
Yeah. Lori Myers here with the Alzheimer's Association, the local office of the Alzheimer's Association on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Right before the pandemic, and I'm trying to think, it was probably about a month before when I went over and actually saw your office in person after having talked to you for years and having talked about it. One of the things that I noticed that day, there really are a lot of helps. You had lots of brochures, lots of good information on every topic under the sun.
You know, we do. We really, really do. We're fortunate. We've got a great amount of information that the Alzheimer's Association publishes. Whether it's behaviors, communication, taking care of yourself as a caregiver, maybe some money issues to look at. We give some basic legal information, and then we say, go see an attorney. So we have those kinds of things, and then we also have all our community resources, you know, referrals to the Area Agency on Aging. Who are the assisted living memory care units in the area? Where can I go for this or that? So we really try to have a finger on those resources because, you know, we need to be able to refer people to the right person. And I know our community partners, recently they referred people to us too. So it really, it's a community effort. And it can make all the difference in the world to have someone say, here's where you need to call, as opposed to trying to figure it out on your own.
And like you said, when you went through all the various different the different groups and the different helps you have, there really is a lot of help here locally, and you don't have to go through this by yourself.
Agreed. It's a great community. People are so compassionate. They're so willing to help, and I think that makes all the difference. I think recently Fredericksburg might have been deemed one of the best places to retire in some article somewhere because. You know, it's a great location, you know, to the mountains and the beach. And I just think our community has a lot to offer.
When we come back, we're going to talk about the walk and, again, give all the details about the walk to end Alzheimer's. But one of the things, Lori, we do talk about the research going on. And you and I keep talking about this and keep talking about this. But You keep seeing things, and you hear about all this research going on, and we really are getting closer. And that's why something like this walk, you don't want to see the momentum slow down at all, just because there is a lot of research going on. And I even look at just some of the medications that are out there now. If you get diagnosed today of what it was when my family was dealing with this, there are a lot of drugs out there that can even be a help today.
There are. You know, they can help manage the symptoms for a period of time, you know, closely monitored by the doctor. And there are some things coming through the FDA. There's one drug in particular that's in the phase three of being approved. It's an exciting time. It really is. So, you know, all the money that's donated, you know, some of it goes to our research. The Alzheimer's Association funds a tremendous amount of clinical trials and things that are going on. So I am very hopeful. You know, I just feel it in my heart that we are so close to not only some medications, but also some testing. There's some things coming down the pike. Hopefully there'll be a blood test to be able to diagnose. We're not there yet. It's not available, but we're getting closer to that. So there's some other things that we're just getting so much closer to because of the funding that's been made available to get to this point.
I did not know that. That is something to be excited about. That if that would be just another step closer to everything. Once again, there's the helpline number that's 24 hours, and also the local number if someone wants to get more information about the Alzheimer's Association in this area.
Okay, so the helpline. It's a 24/7, 365 days a year, 1-800-272-3900. And anybody can call that. Somebody that just wants to learn more, a community partner, someone in the midst of a situation at home, and they just need to call and find out what's the next best thing to do. Anyone can call. You will be answered. The phone will be answered by a master's level clinician. That they're staffed in the middle of the night, you know, like I said, 24/7 to answer that call. No question is too small or too big. And then the local Fredericksburg number is 540-228-1502.
Lori Myers here with the Alzheimer's Association. When we come back, we're going to talk about the Walk to End Alzheimer's. It's virtual this year. And in this area, it's next weekend. There's some walks around the state. If you can't make this one, maybe you can get involved in another one. But there is a walk here next weekend, and we will talk about that when we come back and wrap this up on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
You're listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Got a question for today's guest? Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Lori Myers here with the Alzheimer's Association, the local office of the Greater Richmond Chapter, and she is here, and we are been talking about the Walk to End Alzheimer's. It's a virtual this year in this area. It is next weekend, and not too late to get involved, right, Lori?
No, it is not too late at all. You could go on alz.org/walk after the show or after lunch today or over the weekend. And maybe you could search a team. Maybe you know someone that's creating a team and you want to join their team.
Yeah.
Find out who the team captain is or find out the name and jump on board. And if you can, you know, donate or have some friends donate, that's awesome. Or let's say you don't know anybody, you can start a team. You could be a team of one, or you could be a team of three, but please register. You can make up the name of your team, and they'd be looking for a team captain. It's never too late. And if a friend finds out December 1st that it came and went, tell them that it's not too late.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a great event. It brings the community together, and it can continue to do that. And as we mentioned, the money is so important. And the opening ceremonies are next Saturday at 9:30.
Yes. So the opening ceremony is happening just like it's happened before. It is going to be virtual. So you would want to get on the Walk app or on your computer to watch that ceremony. It does start at 9:30. We will have an initial part of the ceremony from our home office, and then we will go to our local folks, our local caregivers, our local folks with the disease. And I'm going to say that our own Ted Schubel will be our MC for the opening ceremony. So we're so grateful for that. And it'll give us all an opportunity to have that local presence during the ceremony. And then they will say, okay, it's 10 o'clock, grab your flags, put on your shirt, and walk out the door. And really, it's wherever you feel like walking and however long you feel like walking. But the Walk app would actually give people the opportunity to track how far they're walking, and also to take pictures and share pictures. Some of our national sponsor, Edward Jones and CVS, will be on there, along with our local sponsors, where you can learn more about who is supporting the walk that way. So, it's going to happen, and it's 9:30. Everything starts at 10. Promise Garden will be at the Fred Nat Stadium, out in front of the stadium. It will be set up where the actual four colors that we talked about earlier of the flowers. There'll be a very nice display. And that will be from 10 a.m. to noon. So if you wanted to do, you know, the walk right at 10, go do your walk and then drive by the Fred Nat Stadium right there by the Expo Center. And it is a drive-through opportunity, but it is an opportunity to reflect, to think about, you know, what this all means, maybe to have some thoughts about a loved one. And I'm sure you probably wouldn't be the only car there. So there'll be some sense of, hey, there's a lot of people taking time to reflect right now.
ALZ.org/walk will give you all the information. Again, the Walk to End Alzheimer's is virtual. It is next weekend. And Lori, thank you. I mean, it's fantastic that this whole program and idea has all come together. And so much good by the Alzheimer's Association, and we're glad to be a part of it. And thank you for what you do.
Oh, thank you, Ted. I'll tell you, B101.5, 1230 AM, you all have been partners for years, and you've done a fantastic job. You've been so supportive. Your very own Monica Owens is actually one of our co-chairs this year. So I'll tell you, you're all fantastic.
Great to work with you. Again, 540-228-1502, the local number for the Alzheimer's Association. The hotline number, 800-272-3900. Thanks, Lori. We'll talk soon.
Thank you. Have a great day.
That's it for Town Talk. We'll see you Monday.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. The Glenn Beck Program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.